This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry.
There's a lot of things that incarcerated individuals do inside. Art was like all I did, like every day. So for me, I was in my own world.
That's artist Russell Craig. Last year, he joined me here on The Takeaway to discuss the radical connections between art and incarceration. As a formerly incarcerated artist, these connections are central to Craig's work. And back in 2017, he and another formerly incarcerated artist, Jesse Crimes, established the Right of Return Fellowship. It's the first and only national initiative dedicated to supporting and mentoring formerly incarcerated creatives. Each year, Right of Return awards $20,000 each to six fellows working at the intersections of art and system reform. And this month, Right of Return announced their new cohort of 2023 fellows. I sat down with co-founder Jesse Crimes and 2023 fellow Jaquan Faison. Jaquan, I'm going to start with you. What is the value of art in the context of incarceration?
Well, in my experience, it's been a huge value therapeutically. It's been very valuable therapeutically as far as helping me to maintain some sort of mental faculties. You know, during my incarceration, I was speaking with someone maybe yesterday, I believe, and I mentioned just the idea of, most artists know, when you get into a certain mode when you're working, it's almost like reading a book. You're reading a book and you're so engrossed in the book, everything around you, you know, all of the sounds, all of the sights, everything else becomes totally irrelevant. You know, you're thinking about what's going on in that book. You're so much more inside of your own head while you're reading that book that the world around you disappears. So art had a very similar effect on me. You know, while I was incarcerated, at some point I found myself in solitary confinement, and being able to draw, I had legal pads there, and being able to draw was, you know, consumed a lot of my time there and took my focus off of all of the depression, the fact that I had to deal with being, you know, alone in there, and the fact that I had to deal with being incarcerated in general.
Jesse, you want to weigh in on this as well?
You know, very similar to Jaquan, art had served those same purposes for me while incarcerated, also in solitary confinement. I would say, to kind of shift it, the focus a little bit, is that I think that the importance of the work and how it exists in the world is actually very important, because I think that it helps to catalyze conversations that as a society we often try to ignore. And so while the work serves as this kind of medium that can maintain your sanity and can maintain a positive sense of identity in a system that is literally designed to dehumanize you and destroy you, is really embedded in the work. And I think that putting that work out into the world has helped, again, kind of catalyze these conversations and added a whole new kind of cultural narrative to the movement to end mass incarceration.
Jaquan and Jesse, I so appreciate that, because I feel like you brought us both a reflection around the work that art is doing for the incarcerated artists, but also simply the value of art. And it does seem maybe even odd to start there, but sometimes I feel like we're having to make an argument that art matters at all, anywhere.
Yeah, I find myself having to make that argument a lot. And so when we think about that, and like when we're thinking about creating policies to advance change, whether that's legislative or like policy initiatives, you know, often we also have to think about the cultural narrative and how we connect with audiences, because ultimately the things that make policies advance and make people move are the cultural narratives that we kind of surround ourselves with, and the things that we deem to be valuable and the things that we no longer consider to be okay. And so for me, it's always kind of a dual strategy of changing that narrative, of actually putting out information in a way, in a very human way that people can connect with and engage with. So it really kind of lays the groundwork for policy initiatives to actually take hold.
Going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more from Jesse and Jaquan in just a moment. It's The Takeaway.
On this week's On the Media, one former NPR editor's grievances are reverberating far beyond a Substack essay. He claims wokeness is ruining the place.
That marginalized people are storming the barricades and dictating that this story happens and this story gets killed and we're going to use this language and not use that language. That's not what I saw.
On this week's On the Media from WNYC. Find On the Media wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. We're talking with Jesse Crimes, co-founder of Right to Return, a nonprofit organization that provides $20,000 fellowships each year to six artists who are formerly incarcerated. Jaquan Faison is part of the 2023 class of fellows. He's a visual artist who works in multiple media, but has a special affinity toward oil painting and for representing human experiences through human faces, figures, and hands. Jaquan, you talked about what art was doing in terms of anchoring you, getting you into that space of flow as you created. But I'm also interested in the sources of your inspiration, especially in a context like solitary confinement. Where did your art come from?
Well, unfortunately, I've recently discovered that I have a condition called aphantasia, where I can't actually see. I don't have a visual of my imagination. So the vast majority of my art has been from seeing things, from consuming, you know, whatever's around me, if there are images around me, if there's people, if there's pictures. So during my incarceration, you know, while I was in solitary confinement, they did allow me to have two magazines. You know, they have a library cart comes around and they have these, you know, a small set of books and magazines. And each week I would just, you know, I would rotate whatever magazines were there and I would draw every person. You know, I would try to draw the hands. You know, I started with hands because, you know, for some reason I just gravitated towards hands. Maybe it's because I was looking at my own hands, you know, so often while I'm drawing. But that was, you know, that was my inspiration, was just drawing people. And I think also because I didn't see people, you know, I was in solitary confinement at the time. I kind of wanted to reason with myself that maybe I shouldn't, you know, there's a lot of guilt there. Maybe I shouldn't have been around people. And, you know, that's why I was in solitary confinement. You know, maybe that punishment was necessary. And as a child, you know, there was a lot of guilt there. But then I you know, by drawing those people, it was a way of, you know, honestly, it was a way of me feeling like I had, you know, I had some people there. You know, I had some other face. I could see a face. You know, I had a magazine there with a face in it. It was another person's face. So, you know, nothing can prepare you for not, you know, not seeing a person's face for that long.
Jesse, talk to me about how Right of Return began.
Yeah, so we, both myself and Russell Craig, had come home from prison around the same time. And, you know, we partnered with the Soze Agency, and I helped to co-curate an exhibition around the Democratic National Convention in 2016.
I remember it so well. It's the first place I saw Russell Craig's work, that incredible self-portrait.
Yeah, it's a stunning piece. And I think it was the first time a lot of people have seen his work. And in fact, there was a funder in the audience that day, and a question had been asked, something along the lines of like, are we the only artists, formerly incarcerated artists, right? And I basically explained that, you know, we are not the exception to the norm, that this is actually the norm. And that really kind of kicked off a conversation around how we can build something that will support other formerly incarcerated artists and actually provide them with access that is often denied. Because when you think about people who are incarcerated, oftentimes they've spent decades of their lives without an artistic community, without access to all the other things and fluencies that people gain over that period of time. And so while there are incredible artists all over the country, the access to those artists is often very limited. And so that was the genesis of Right of Return, which we co-founded in 2017. And so to date, we've supported, I believe it's 31 artists, some of whom are the most visible artists in the country now. You know, they've gone on to get MacArthur Genius Awards and Pulitzers and Guggenheim grants. And it's just been incredibly powerful to see all of these amazing artists just, you know, with a little bit of support that we were able to offer through Rate of Return, just like really excelling in the world and working, getting their work into the world and really catalyzing these conversations.
Jaquan, what did it mean to you to learn that you've been named a fellow, a Rite of Return fellow?
Well, recently I've been employed as a substitute art teacher, which is, you know, something that's been very important to me. But, you know, when I think back, initially I set out to be, you know, full-time artist. And I genuinely have a deep, deep love for being a teaching artist. But I set out to be an artist. So, you know, I was also aware of the SOES agency and the past fellows, you know, for some time. But it took me some time to think that it was possible that I could, you know, achieve, you know, that I could win, that I could, you know, be there. So, you know, I doubted myself, you know, for some time because of sort of some of the things that Jesse just mentioned. You know, for years of my life, I didn't realize that I could potentially be an artist. You know, I could be a full-time working, living artist. You know, I always figured I had to find a way to supplement. So this was something big. You know, this was something not just as inspirational to me, for the people around me. You know, there's still people in my neighborhood who may have an ability to draw or may have a vision for art, but they just see it as a hobby because they don't know that it's available and they may have been incarcerated. So, you know, if I'm here and I'm able to, you know, let people know, you know, that this is something that I'm able to achieve as well. So it's been huge. It's been, you know, it's really, I'm trying to, a lot of it, I'm trying to keep inside to myself, but it's huge. It's massive to me. It's life changing to me. This is another, you know, when I think back to when I was accepted into college. You know, I was rejected initially because of my past, because of my criminal history. And, you know, when I finally did get accepted, you know, that was life changing. This is another moment to me that this is another focal point in my life that's life changing.
Jaquan, thank you so much for taking the time with us. Jesse, thank you so much for taking the time with us today on The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having us. This is lovely.
Thank you. Thanks. This is a great experience.